there is a genius. That was a good, a really wonderful time of during a time of communion, the exhortation about sonship and about having an inheritance and the word that God brought to us through Pete. So good morning, kingdom inheritors.
Come on.
So we're going to have fun this morning in God's presence. And I just want to thank God, first of all. Should we just pray together? Gracious Father, we bless you this morning. We just want to give you praise because you are good.
Yes.
You are good, good Father.
Yes.
That's who you are.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you that in this room, there are children that you love. And Lord, we want to thank you as we want to receive from you, from your word this morning. Lord, reveal your heart to us afresh. Help us to capture what's in your heart for us. And Lord, help us to become better disciples of Jesus and to be able to represent you well in our day-to-day walk. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning that you have been doing great things in our midst. Lord, we ask you to heal those who are sick amongst us, to bring understanding to those who need to know about you. And Lord, above all, we pray that you save souls this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. So I'm thrilled to be speaking this morning because the word of God is so precious and it's an honor to always be asked to preach. As we've been going through our time of worship, the one theme that's been going on is about our Father God. And before I start, I just want to ask you to ask your neighbor just two questions. I want to ask you to ask them, what do you have in your mind when you say God is your Father? But don't answer. Just ask them a question. I don't want them to answer. So what do you have in your mind when you call God your Father? Okay, while you're still thinking about that, I have another question. What image of God do you have in your mind as your Heavenly Father? We've been singing that God is our Father. We've been singing that God is good. And so you must have an image in your mind when you call God Father. What is that image? And I will take two volunteers to answer that. Not Dave. What image do you have of God when you say Father? Yeah,
that's
that would go, yeah. Can you say that up again?
A bit like Charlton Heston, you know, in the Ten Commandments.
That's right. Okay, all right. Another one? Okay.
Provider, is that not an image?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he provides for you, so you can go to him and say, God, I have needs, and you are the one who can meet those needs. That's perfect. Now, it wasn't a trick question, because every one of us, when we call God Father, we have an image in our mind, or we should have an image in our mind. But I want to just present to you two things about God the Father. He's strong, and he's loving. Those two things don't usually go together. Someone who is so strong, yet is so loving, tender in his love for you. You know, Jesus is referred to as lion and lamb. You know, those two things are kind of, don't sort of sit together. A lion is roars, is powerful. You know, you can do damage. But a lamb just sits there quietly, you know, almost lame. You know, our God is strong, yet he's loving. And he wants to reveal that heart of strength to each and every one of us and to show us that he loves us so much that he took him to leave his throne, to come to earth, to die for us, so that we can become inheritors of his kingdom. So we can become joint heirs with Christ. Everything Jesus has, you and I have. What a thought. Everything Jesus has, you and I, as children of God, we have. As Dave was saying, at time of communion, if you have that kind of conviction, you shouldn't just take communion and whimper on your seat. Come you on, should boy. Be shouting and say, praise the Lord for the things you've done for me, for making it possible for me to become a joint heir with Christ. Wow. And that's what we're just going to touch on that this morning, and I believe God is going to reveal more of his heart to us so that when we get out of this room, when we do our daily chores, when we go in things we do during the week, we can know that we are connected with a God who is so powerful. It's the same God that Elijah called on when he was being confronted with the prophets of Baal. And he said, God that answers by fire, show up. And he did show up. Right?
Yeah.
He's that same God that delivered the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. He's the same God that when Daniel was cast in lion's den, nothing scratched him. He came out alive. He's the same God that you and I worship. But more importantly, he's the same God that has made himself available to become your father. So we should never be feeling like orphans. You know, Jesus, before he went back to heaven, he said, you know, you're no longer orphans. And I like that song that Claire led us in. When he says, you know, I don't know, I have to read it. Because it's so powerful. He says, you father the orphan. Your kindness makes us whole. And you shoulder our weakness. And your strength becomes our own. Now you're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes, for you will have your bride. Yeah. That's the God we serve. Yeah. I want us to go into the Word right now and just read from a few portions of the Bible. John 1. It says from verse 9 to 12, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, this is talking about Jesus, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. John 1, sorry, verse 11. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But verse 12. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So if you in this room have accepted Jesus, you have a right to become a child of God.
Amen.
And in 1 John chapter 3, he says, verses 1 to 3, from the NIV, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. He didn't just sprinkle the love on us. The Bible says he lavished the love on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Wow. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. And Romans 8, this has already been read, but I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read it from the NIV, and I'm going to read it from the Message translation or paraphrase. Romans 8, 14 to 17. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Listen to what the message says. It says, God's spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. So the Holy Spirit, you know, as Dave said, is the work of the Godhead, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not just one part of the Godhead. They're working in unison. You know, God the Father, God the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are. Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we are certainly going to go through the good times with him. Hallelujah. You know, it's about relationship. It's about relationship. Christianity is not a religion of rules and regulations. It's about coming into a personal relationship with a heavenly Father who, though he's so strong, is called the Almighty. He appeared to Abraham and said, "I am El Shaddai. I am the God who is more than enough." But yet, he's so tender, okay, that you can call him Papa. You can relate to him on a personal level. It's a personal relationship. Christianity is about you having a personal relationship with your Creator, who also died for you, but who has given his Holy Spirit to live inside of you to help you to live this life properly. That's what Christianity is about. And that's why you and I can go out not fearing anything. I mean, if you belong to the most powerful person in Britain, is anybody going to harass you? I have a story. I'll just quickly chip that in. You know Prince William? How many of you know him? Okay. I read this story about him after he got engaged, you know, and I'm going to read it because I cannot quote it properly. He said the engagement had just been announced. Catherine Middleton, that's the wife-to-be, had given her first television interview with Prince William sitting proudly by her side, and it was now time to plan the wedding. Eager to include all their close friends in the great day, the young couple began to draw up the guest list. That's what young couples do. I got married 29 years ago, so I don't remember. But they found they had been pipped to the post. Buckingham Palace was there first. That is the establishment. Okay? But that's not the end of the story. I came into the first meeting for the wedding post-engagement. And I was given this official list of 777 names, 777 names, dignitaries, governors, all sorts of people, and not one of them I knew. The reporter says, he chuckles as he recalls his own sense of helplessness. Young man, about to get married, now with his bride. They wanted to celebrate the day with their friends. People that they've been hanging out with. He went to St. Andrews. He wanted to hang out with people. He has no knowledge of these dignitaries that have been invited because the establishment, you know, protocol, you know, tradition, everything had to be prim and proper. He chuckles as he recalls his own sense of helplessness. They said, these are the people we should invite. This is Prince William. I looked at it in absolute horror and said, I think we should start again. But then, eventually, he realized there was only one person who could resolve the issue, the Queen herself. Wow. The establishment had done its thing, but the young man recognized, I've got someone. I am related. I'm not just a servant of the establishment. I am an heir. So I'll call my granny, the one who sits on the throne, the highest one. And then, listen, I rang her up the next day and said, do we need to be going, doing this? William speaking to the queen like that? Yes. Her grandchild. Just say, Grandma, do we need to be doing this? And she said, no. Start with your friends first and then go from there. And she told me, bend the list. I read that story, and I said, wow, Prince William understood what we are talking about. He was helpless because you couldn't stand this establishment. This is how we've been doing it. Prince Charles, your dad, when he got married, we had the good dignitaries from all over the place, and you got to follow suit. But the young man said, listen, I'm not going to sit for this, even though I am helpless, but I have help. So he called Granny and said, Granny, do we have to be doing this? And Granny says, no. Put your friends on the list. That's why Beckham got on the list. But you know, the story is so relevant for us today as Christians. Yeah. You know, we go about, the devil constantly intimidates us. He tells us you have no help. He tells you, you have such a high debt, you cannot pay it. I'm going to make sure everything is taken from you. You know, you are sick, and, you know, you're going to die in this. And he goes on and on and harasses and does everything to us. But when we remember that we have help, and we go to our Heavenly Father, we can talk to him in our own language. You don't have to use Queen's English. Okay? Just say it like it is. Dad, Papa, I need help. And you know what? Because of Jesus, he's going to answer you. Amen. You know, I believe it's so important for us to begin to dig deep into this revelation of God being our Father. Because when we know who we are, because, you know, we live in a generation that is so confused. People don't know who they are. That's why they're seeking help in all kinds of things that don't matter, that will never amount to anything. But when we realize that, you see, we are connected to the highest one in the universe, the one who says he is the most high God, El Elyon, the highest one. When we know that that's the one we're related to, and we have access to come to him through the work of Jesus Christ, we will not be helpless. We can always get the help we need. We need to really catch a revelation of this, that we are children of God. As John says, that's who we are. Twice in three verses, he said, that's who we are, children of God. That means we need to take note. We need to really understand that God wants us to really have this understanding that we are his children. You know, and you and I know what a child and a dad looks like. And I know the reason why we have such an issue is because there have been experiences of dads and children that are not great. And when people come and you hear that God is your father, you begin to sift through the knowledge of your experiences with your earthly dad. And because you feel that, that dad didn't represent a good model, so you begin to impose that on God. And because of that, you block your mind from receiving God as your Heavenly Father. I believe God wants us to change that. He wants us to renew our mind to the truth of his word. He's a good father. He's a good father. He's a loving father. He's not like our earthly fathers. No matter how great your earthly, my earthly father was a nice man. But guess what? He fell so short of the standards of Scripture. But my Heavenly Father is a perfect Father. Yeah. And that is the image that God wants us to begin to build, that he's so strong. He created the whole universe and he's holding everything together by the power of his word. But yet he's so loving and he's so, you know, he wants to relate to each and every one of us individually. It's not about just, I mean, he loves us corporately, yes? But individually, he wants to meet you at that point where you are. He wants you to begin to have a healthy image of him. And we can only find that through the Bible. You know, Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. Throughout the Old Testament, God is described as God, Almighty, all-powerful, and different things. In few occasions was he described as Father. But when Jesus came, he came to reveal God as Father. 122 times he's quoted in this New Testament, Jesus referring to God as Father. And that's why the Jews hated him. When he said, my father, and they were wondering, come on, you, who is your father? But he wanted us to know. You know, when the disciples saw him praying, they were seeing results. He said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He says, when you pray, pray this way, our Father in heaven. You know, even implying that it's not just your Father alone or your Father alone, it's our Father. We're not just alone. You know, we're not alone because he's our Heavenly Father. It means that there's partnerships, one-on-one, but also on horizontal level. Amen? Yeah. And see, God wants us to develop all these things so that we can work this out and become better disciples of Christ. See, our Father in heaven, you pray this way to our Father in heaven. Amen? And I have news for you. You have brothers and sisters here on earth, but you also have brothers and sisters who are in heaven. Ephesians 3 says, and he's our Father. So it's so important for us to get this. But quickly, I want to just touch on three things. I won't explain them too much. One, we need to develop a sense of identity. When you know that God is your Father, you just need to get this. Because you are known, you are identified by who your Father is. You know, Jesus made some statement. He said, the devil was the father of the other people. Wow. They didn't get it. But he says, your heavenly Father, the good one, is your Father if you have believed in him. And so we need to have a sense of identity, you know, in God. You know, because the devil is constantly attacking relationships. He's attacking families. He's attacking family values. You know, because of that, a lot of people have become estranged from this knowledge or standard of what a father, a true father is. But God wants us to reclaim that. And we can only find that in the pages of the Bible. Amen? Because when we know that, he wants us to begin to get our identity from him, that we belong to him. And that should be the way we should conduct our affairs. You should have a mindset that I'm a child of God. You know, 1 John says, if you have this kind of knowledge, you will purify yourself, even as he is pure. There are things that we as children of God should not do because we belong to God. Because God is a pure God, we have to live pure lives. Amen? Because God is a good God, we have to do good. Amen? These are simple things, but this is simple ways in which you can outwork it. If you want to learn, go through the pages of the New Testament. Look at how Jesus conducted himself. Look at how he spoke. Look at how he ministered. That's how the Father wants us to do. He wants us to be his copycat. And the Holy Spirit is right inside there with us to help us. He's called the Comforter, the Helper, Paraclete. He's the one who wants to help us to do this work, to be able to live a Christian life properly. So when you make up your mind, I want to know my Father. I want to walk with him properly, the Holy Spirit comes alongside and he helps you. But you have to get your identity, not from things. You know, because when you are so solid, like Prince William was, he knew who he was. I mean, make no mistake about it. I am a grandchild of the Queen. You have done your deal, but guess what? I'm going to upturn that. Did he not? The queen just said, "Been it." So all the lies the devil is constantly bringing to us, God is saying, "Been it." Those lies that says you can't amount to anything, been it. Yeah. The lie that says, "Oh, you are worthless," you just been it. Yeah. My God says, "I'm worthy." That cross, the cross, reveals our value. Okay? He's not just showing our sins. He's revealing that we are so valuable that God decided to go on that cross so that he can redeem us. When you look at the cross, you should be thinking forward. You are important to God. That's what it is. Amen? Amen? So it's so important for us to let this, because this, when we are, because genuine identity comes only from knowing the loving Heavenly Father. And this would dispel fear. This will bring freedom from fear. It will give you security. You will not need to live in comparison with others. You know, the world is comparing themselves all the time about things. I mean, if you read newspapers, if you read magazines, you just see everybody's competing with who wants to be like X, Y, Z. You know, praise the Lord. It will deliver you from praise of men or lack of it. It is said that a lot of celebrities, the moment they get out of the limelight, they just go under because there's no longer accolades, no praise, no television coming to them screen saying, "Oh, you are XYZ, you are XYZ," because their identity is rooted in that kind of thing. But if you are a child of God, it doesn't matter, or it shouldn't matter. If you have your identity rooted in who you are in your Heavenly Father, then nothing will shake you. And quickly, second thing I want us to think about, we've got 5 minutes to finish, is love. That has been preached through the worship and through different things. God loves you unconditionally. Your response should be to love God in back and to love yourself. Say, "I will love myself." You know, a lot of people, someone will say, "That's heresy." No. Jesus says, love God. The commandment is love God and love your neighbor as yourself. You're not going to love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. Right. What are you going to give them? Things you don't have? I mean, you're deceiving yourself if you think, "Oh, I'm going to love everybody, but I'm going to just put myself down." It doesn't work that way. You love God passionately. You serve him. You fear him. You do whatever the Bible says. Then you love yourself. I'm not talking about, you know, this sissy love, you know, that kind of thing. I'm talking about real love. Love that validates, that affirms, that says I'm a man of worth. I'm not worthless. Okay? Love that rejects the lies of the devil, that bends the lies of the devil. Amen? Then you love your neighbor. You love others. You love others because you know, I mean, if you love yourself that, "Oh, God has delivered me to go to heaven," I mean, you should love your neighbor that you don't want them to go to hell because hell is tough. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then thirdly, and I'm going to finish with this, prayer. This is one of the privileges we have as children of God. And this is a sermon on its own, but let me just say it in two words. Two sentences. If you know that God is your Father, you should pray more. Because there's nothing that's going to happen if you don't pray. Prayer is the way God has established his will to be done here on earth. In your life, in my life, in things around us. You know, I was doing something at home the other day, and I was banging. It required a lot of physical strength. I said, "No, I'm not like Pete. I'm not that, whatever." Strong. However, I just said, God, help me. And I just, honestly, it's like wanting to move this thing. I said, God, help me. And I just put almost like a finger. The thing just came down. I said, wow. Buddy, why don't you do this all the time? Because the Bible says, you know, God wants to answer your prayers. John 16, 23, 24. Jesus says, if you ask the Father anything, he will give you. Amen? If you know, I mean, imagine a child asking a father something that is of value to them, and the father says, I don't want to give you. But God is a good father, is a perfect father. If you dare ask him, he will give you. And someone will say, I've been asking, I've not been, keep asking. Don't give up, I'm telling you. Sometimes we pray once and then we don't get the answer and we just say, I'm not going to pray again. No. Keep praying, because God never wastes prayers. You know, there are many stories. The woman that was constantly being denied her rights by an unjust judge, because she kept pestering him, the man said, oh, this woman is going to weary me down. I'm going to have to do something. Gave her justice. God wants to give you justice. So people of God, let us keep praying. When we know that we are connected with God, we should pray more. We should pray without ceasing, the Bible says. It says, men ought always to pray, never to faint. When you feel like giving up, that's the time to start praying. You have to force yourself to doing it because you have an inheritance with your father. Imagine if Prince William had said, oh, I'm helpless, and that's the end of the deal. You know who will be at his wedding? Nobody that he knew of. But who was at his wedding? Everyone that he knew. Those, the jockeys and the footballers and the DJs and whoever, the students even, were at the wedding. It wasn't like a royal wedding of old. But you know, God wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to have your heart. God has dreams for you. And he wants to fulfill those dreams. And he doesn't want someone else's dreams for your life. He wants your own dreams that he has purposed for you to be the things that you enjoy. And that's why it's so important to see, get this, that God is your father and he loves you personally. And he wants the best for you. So as we close right now, I want us to just, because the Bible clearly tells us, Jesus is the one who can reveal the Father to us. And he will do it by his Holy Spirit. In Matthew 11, he says that. So as we finish, I want us to just stand to our feet right now. I want us to just make up our minds that I want to know this Father. I want my identity to be rooted in him. I want my identity to be rooted in him. If you've had not so great an experience of a natural dad, I want you to do something for me. Just say to Father, help me to change this image and to receive the image of you, a good father, a strong father, yet a loving father. I want to make you my father. I want to be able to do that. But God then says one thing to you. When you begin to enjoy his company, don't keep it to yourself. He wants you to show the world who he truly is. Because the world has a wrong image of God. But God wants us to change that. So as we pray together, just make up your mind. First of all, I want to know the Father. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show us the Father. And he will show you. 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 I want us to want him to show us the Father and to give us the grace to be able to live as children of God. So our identity is totally rooted in who God is and who we are. We are joint heirs with Christ. You are called Christian, a follower of Christ. You are not an orphan again. You have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. You are not alone. You have brothers and sisters. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and God wants to help you. Let's begin to pray right now. Begin to pray to God. Just show me who you are by your Spirit. Lord Jesus, you are the revealer, you are the one that can reveal the Father, as you did in the days of your ministry. I just want you to please show me. Oh, what a good God we serve. God is such a faithful God. When you ask Him, He will do it. Just ask Him to, and if you've had this revelation for years, ask Him to deepen it in you, to really make it real and real to you, so that when anywhere you are, you know who you are. You are not in doubt about who you are. So you are not swayed to the left or to the right by political correctness or the things that you read in the papers, but you are only moved by what the Bible says, that you are a child of God. So as Claire and the team lead us in this song, just begin to do business with your Father. Just ask Him to show you His heart, to show you that His love. He's already loved you perfectly. He cannot love you anymore. Just begin to just do business with God. Just ask in your own way. As Prince William asked the Queen, should we be doing this? He didn't have to go into to look for big words. He just said it like it is. Say it to your Father like it is. God, I want to know You. Just show me Your heart. Show me Your love. Demonstrate Yourself in my life. And help me to be so rich in it so that I can go and tell others who You are. Praise God.